The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
And now, Sports Talk 1240.
Oh, sorry, and we are back for the second hour of Sports Talk 1240, WGBB. Gary, John, and Derek here with you on the second hour. Again, we're going to be taking phone calls in the second half hour of this broadcast. So number is 631-888-8811. We will be getting our guest on the air in a couple of minutes. But, John, you wanted to mention just real quick about the about your thoughts of who's going to be the wild card in the National League?
I have the Mets. I have the Mets winning the wild card and the Padres.
Really?
In the NL, yeah.
Wow.
Mets and the Padres.
I have the Washington Nationals going to the World Series.
Going against L.A.?
L.A.
The L.A. Angels?
The L.A. Angels. Trout and company. Pujols and the boys.
Yeah, we didn't talk about the Western Division of the American League, but yeah,
that's
the Angels are a very stacked lineup, and I don't think there's any doubt that they're going to come out of that division.
And I got Washington winning the whole thing with that pitcher staff. Don't let them fool you. They got one of the best pitchers. The Mets do too.
You think Obama will come out and throw the first pitcher to the World Series?
Let's hope not.
Yeah. That's a decision.
Jorge Soler winning rookie of the year in the NL.
Do you know Sports Illustrated picked the Indians to win the World Series?
I don't know about that.
Really?
Yeah,
this year? Wow.
Was that dedicated to you, Derek Wozniak?
I don't understand where that came from.
Is that the same fantasy that you have a dream about the Rangers winning the Cup too? The same thing?
That's not a dream. That's a possibility.
Well, you got to admit, it is a possibility.
It is a possibility.
You know, as much
sure.
as much as you don't want to see it, John, it is a possibility. Come on, they're playing.
He'll never let us live it down.
As sports fans, we got to give him credit. But we got a guest on the line joining us. And actually, Derek's going to take his headphones off and go probably take a walk or just hang out for a little bit. But anyway, joining us is Andy Graziano from Islanders Insight. Andy, it's John, Gary, and Derek here. How you doing tonight?
Hey, gentlemen. Good evening. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, you know, you didn't go off the ledge after the game, right?
No, not tonight.
I mean, that first 90 seconds, were you about ready to throw something at family members or, you know?
I actually played a little puck today with my boy, and after that, the family and I went out for something to eat. So I actually missed the first period. I remember coming back from the restroom at the restaurant, and my son, who's the ever fantastic Rangers fan that he is, telling me that it was 3-3 10 minutes in. So I had to come home and saw the second and third and caught up on the highlights of the first.
All right, so just to give us a little synopsis, again, you know, me being at the game, obviously I'm not hearing the play-by-play, but what was the atmosphere from the actually you didn't see it either. So I was just to say, you know, what do you think the situation is with these guys now, with now getting that losing streak out of the way? I mean, do you think there was a lot of talk going maybe from the players? You know, I heard the rumors there was a players-only meeting. Do you think that, you know, these guys hopefully got their ship righted?
I could say this. Saturday night after the after the loss to Anaheim, the room did stay closed a little longer than usual post-game for us to enter. What that means, I don't have any confirmation on what that means, but one can only assume that the players were in there discussing things amongst themselves before PR let the media in. When we spoke to Johnny Boychuk after the game, you know, he seemed pretty calm and relaxed, and I think that's the key to this whole thing. I think everyone's so focused on, well, what can Jack Capuano do to get this team out of the funk? And, you know, I don't tend to overrate the coaching aspect. While I think a coach is important, obviously, I've always been a players responsible first kind of guy. And especially at this time of the year, you know, it has to fall on a player's will, and will and dedication and desire can't be taught. Those are impossible things to teach. You either have it or you don't. And I think that's where we're seeing the Islanders right now learning how to play these close, tight games, learning what it's going to be like in 2.5 weeks when the playoffs start. And I think more important than Capuano to kind of steer this ship down that path are going to be the guys in the room with that kind of experience. And that's Johnny Boychuk, Jaro Halak, Tyler Kennedy,
yep.
Nick Leddy.
Right.
You know, those are the guys that are going to have to step up and really steer these guys down that path. Because let's be honest, Jack Capuano hasn't really been there either, with the exception of, you know, the first round playoff loss 2 years ago.
I mean, you gotta hope also, you know, that guys like Doug Wade also gives that bit of experience. Yep. I mean, do you really think, as far as a fan perspective, and I know, you know, I've seen some comments from Rich, your colleague on Islanders Insight, and he made some pretty astute things that I think too many people are just going absolutely ballistic on specific players, on the coaching staff, and all this. And I think it's a result of the fact that as Islander fans, as Islander faithful, these guys haven't experienced some of these things in you know, these positions that they're in 20-odd years. I mean, is it just the fact that they're getting a little bit too overreactive?
I think expectations might have been raised a little too much. I don't think this is a team that's built for a one-and-done run. You know, we've seen that with some other teams, namely, you know, I'm not taking anything away from the New York Rangers, who made a fantastic run to the finals last year and are built to go deep again this year, I believe. But let's face it, they're built on a year-to-year basis. And I think that they're due for a pretty steep drop, in my opinion, over the next year or two. The Islanders aren't built like that. They never were. The long-term vision of Garth Snow was never to do that. So for anybody to have expected this team, even with the start that they had, to automatically be Stanley Cup contenders, I think that was a little ambitious, in my opinion. So, I think expectations were raised. Now, fans have every right to expect things out of the Islanders. They have every right to expect effort for their dollar, let's say. I'm not taking that away from them. I think that opinions are important, and they need to be respected, whatever the opinion might be, even if you don't agree with it. But there has to be a level, as you just said, of clarity and right. realism has right. to come into focus at some point that kind of settles you down and brings you back to a realistic perception of this team. There are holes. There are issues.
I mean, in my opinion, this year, if the Islanders, what I want out of it, I would love, you know, in the beginning of the year, I was like, yes, you know, I was drinking the Kool-Aid and stuff. But you have to get out of the first round in the first round of the playoffs now, just because it hasn't happened in 20-something years now. Mm-hmm. So, to me, that's a success this year. And then we move on in the years to come as they grow together. That's my opinion.
Let me ask you this, though. If the Islanders were to, let's say, not make it out of the first round, let's say, I mean, it's hard to say right now, but in all likelihood, things are kind of steering towards a first-round rematch with the Penguins, who, by the way, just lost Crystal Tang to a concussion yesterday, which is huge news. Yeah. Because, you know, 2.5 weeks is not a long time, as we've seen with Mikhail Hrabowski. Depending on the type of concussion that it is and how Chris reacts, that could be a huge blow for them.
And he's had two in 2 months, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Exactly. And that could be a huge blow for them. But anyway, let's say they don't. Let's say they lose in the first round. Would you consider this season a failure?
Well, it's a two-part question. You know, I mean, look, if they get 100 points, hasn't done in 30 years, what they've done with the wins this year in 30-something years, in my opinion, if they have to get out of the first round, yes, I would think so. Because the way they started things off, I would say so, yes.
And that's a fair.
But I mean, we do have other goals, you know, with the 100-point right. goal, we have 45 wins now. It's been a long, you know, 30 years, so,
right.
I mean, I would have liked to have the 50, you know, but that's just, we want to win in the playoffs, bottom line.
I think that's an opinion that needs to be respected, and I do respect. In my opinion, however, I don't feel that there's anything that can happen, in my opinion, right now that will make me deem this season a failure. You know, you look at the acquisition of Jaro Halak. You look at the acquisition and the signings long-term of Nick Leddy and Johnny Boychuk. You look at the continued right. growth and maturity of Brock Nelson and Ryan Strome and Anders Lee. And now we're looking at next year, Griffin Reinhardt and Ryan Pulak and, you know, right. down the road even a little more so, Michael Dalcal and Josh Hosang. And so to me, I would rather be set up for 10 years of long-term success than, you know, have a deep run this year that another organization might have, and then it all falls apart next year due to the cap or what have you.
Right. And
that's just the way I see it.
Yeah, and I don't think, you know, the other thing that you know, I've been thinking about this the last few weeks is that, and I said this earlier in the broadcast,
The Islanders have not been – I mean, they've obviously lost the 7 straight home games, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. But they have not been getting – they haven't been stinking out the buildings.
That's correct.
You know, it's been a learning process for a young team to have to deal with this kind of pressure at this point in the season. And I think it's good that it's happening now, and hopefully now that they'll start to turn the corner in the last 5 games, we're going to see them play better hockey and be better prepared to face this in the playoffs.
I wish I could frame what you just said and post it on every Islander fan
wall. Well said, yes.
Because that was probably analytically one of the best things I've heard in the last week come out of Islander country. And it's exactly well said and right on the money. You know, there's been only, I could think of 2 games out of the last 10 where I felt they truly didn't deserve to win.
Right.
As you said, they've all been tight, playoff-type games. And you know, look, let's play them now. The schedule now gets a little softer. We play that rough stretch. It's only 2 games over the next 8 days. Plenty of time to get rest. Plenty of time to get healthy. And plenty of time to get back in sync, which is something that Butch Goring told me at the end of the first period on Saturday against Anaheim. You know, I looked at him and I said, you know, Butch, what are your thoughts? You know, what do you think's been the issue these last 10 games or so? And he said, Andy, to be honest, they just look out of sync. They just don't look in sync. And
right.
Maybe it's the return of Oposo, getting him back going. But I think that now is a perfect opportunity. Get a little extra practice time. Get your whole roster healthy. Then I could see where coaching comes into the equation a little bit, because then how does Jack set his roster up for the playoffs?
Are you happy what he did today, moving Strom up and cooling it up?
I think he had to try something. You know, this team was struggling to score goals. Obviously, he tried doing a little bit of juggling on Saturday. Really didn't work. They really scored 1 goal to me because the Cizikas goal, Fowler made an outstanding pass to Casey right in the slot.
But you know, I was at that game and Anderson played fantastic in that game. Rob Strome when the 5-on-3
on the power play, right? Tavares and then Strome, and then those were saves that I didn't even see from the press box. Until I got home and saw the replay.
And the Ducks are the best team in the West right now, the 103 points. I mean, you know, they ran away with that.
Saves by Anderson were better than I originally thought when I saw them from up high. When I got home and saw the replay on NHL Network, I was just, wow. I was just like, holy.
I mean, they've run into a bunch of goaltenders that have just been standing on their head, you know.
But that's what's going to happen in the playoffs.
Every team that you're going to face in the playoffs is going to have a goaltender that's going to be lights out.
And look, let me tell you something. The Blue Jackets are 9-1 in the last 10 games. And we got them 2 times in the next 5 games. Yep. That's not a cakewalk right there.
Well, you know, no team at this point is a cakewalk. I think we've seen the true age of parity enter the NHL, where any team could beat any other, especially a team like next Saturday at home against the Sabres. You got a team coming in that, I mean, I remember my last year of coaching when I was kind of getting, you know, burnt out of it, and I kind of just, to be honest, wanted out of it after doing it for so long. And it was a championship game, and I literally said to my kids, just go have fun. And we ended up winning. I think those are the most dangerous teams to play, the teams that are just going out there to play.
Well, the Islanders were there. Remember last season with all the kids?
Absolutely.
They knocked off teams right and left coming down the stretch.
But I think you're right. These games like Columbus and Buffalo and games like that are not games that the Islanders at this point can afford to take lightly, because I think that, you know, there's no doubt you want those 4 home games in the opening round, regardless of who you're playing.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think it's gonna set up for an interesting run down the stretch. You know, you're gonna have, like I said, a real good opportunity these next 8 days to get Michael Grabner healthy. I'd love to see if Lubomir Vasnovsky stays healthy. I can't see Brian Strait factoring into the playoff equation. I think, you know, DeHaan works his way back in. Capuano told us Saturday that he hasn't lost confidence in DeHaan. Whether Calvin's lost a little confidence in himself, he certainly hasn't been the same player this year that he was last year. But to me, that's expected. It's his second full season learning the NHL's toughest position to learn. And you saw it right in Jersey next door with Adam Larson go through a horrendous second season. Mm-hmm. And he's actually been very, very good this year for New Jersey in his 3rd year. So I think it's a normal progression that Calvin's going through, and he's just got to fight his way out of it within the next, you know, 2 weeks.
It seems to me like this year, like last few month and a half or so, they just can't clear the puck out of their end. I mean, they get a little too cute, and they just can't They try to do the extra pass, and
they get themselves into more trouble sometimes.
They should ice the puck more than
couple of situations on the penalty kill today. It was that specific problem. They're behind, they're to the left of the net, and they just try to backhand it supposedly over the guy's head, but it doesn't. It ends up just skating across the ice and right to the point.
And I go back to Butchie's comment again to me about being out of sync, and I think that, you know, we saw the tremendous struggles of the penalty kill, and we saw the power play going well. Now we see it flip-flops. We see the penalty kill going
outstanding. Right, I mean, they gave up their first goal in 29 attempts.
One power play goal against in the month of March.
Right.
Which is, you would have never thought that from this unit coming into March.
Well, you know what it is? I don't think they shoot it enough. They worry about the perfect pass to get the perfect shot when they could, you know, they have Lee in the front.
We're talking about from the penalty kill aspect, that they've only given up one in 29.
Yes, then the power play is not working, and then your defense starts clicking and playing better hockey, and then your offense goes into a slump. So it kind of hasn't all come together in, like, February and March for the Islanders. But as you said before, I'd rather have it happen now than later. I think today was the inevitable goal explosion. We had to see the luck kind of change a little bit. We saw it on the Franz Nielsen goal. We saw it on the Oposo goal. That's just the way hockey is. It's such an up and down game. You're going to have ebbs and flows, and you're going to have luck go against you, and you're going to have luck go with you. And I think hopefully today was the start of the return of some of those bounces coming back to the Islanders' way.
Now, obviously, we're looking at the standings. 95 points right now. Pittsburgh right now is tied with San Jose after two periods, 2-2. So obviously, you know, Islander Nation's hoping for San Jose to wake up in the third period and get a couple more goals and keep that lead ahead of the Penguins. But obviously we would have another matchup with Pittsburgh in the first round. Is that something that would really kind of excite you?
I think they're our best matchup right now, to be honest, especially given the Letang situation, given the fact that Evgeny Malkin's a little banged up. I don't want to see Montreal under any circumstances.
No.
I agree with you.
I don't want to see Boston under any circumstances.
No.
Pittsburgh. Even though we play Boston pretty well. Honestly, I think we handled the Detroit a lot better than most teams do, especially in Joe Louis Arena. So that kind of, but the whole aura of Detroit and the success of that franchise kind of spooks me a little bit. And I definitely don't want to see the Rangers the way the Rangers are playing right now to get the two losses yesterday and today. That's just, you know, they've already clinched. Now it's all about getting Lundqvist's reps.
Well, you have also have a personal interest in it, too, because you don't just want your son going after you.
Who will come after me? I'm not worried about that.
You're going to play Washington. I mean, is who you're going to play.
You know, I want...
They're going to pass
Pittsburgh.
I'm
not that kind of fan anymore. Like, even last year when the Rangers were on their way to the Cup, you know, I want to see him happy. And if he could experience what I experienced as a kid with the four straight Cups, not that the Rangers are built to win four straight, Mon, you don't think any team is, but then I'd be happy for him. I wouldn't hold a grudge or anything like that, but if the Islanders and Rangers play in the first round, I'm very grateful that I'll be covering the games at the Coliseum rather than being home. And for the games at the Garden, it'll definitely be in separate rooms for sure.
Your son's a Ranger. How old's your son?
18.
18.
He writes. And he writes for a Ranger blog, correct?
He went against his father, huh?
Well, it's not really going against. I mean, I had him for 1 year when he was like seven, and then, you know, his mom, who's a Ranger fan, and that's my fault for marrying a Ranger fan.
If the Rangers do beat the Islanders, you can always check the family court act. I think you're only responsible to take care of him until he's 18 years old.
Win that fight. And, you know, it just grew from there, and there was really nothing I can do to stop it.
Well, Andy, we definitely... hope that you get to see a lot more playoff action, and we definitely appreciate your coming in and talking with us for a little bit, and I'll definitely see you hopefully in the press box in the playoffs.
Thank you very much, guys. Have a great night.
All right, listen, take care. Again, that's Andy Graziano from Islanders Insight, islandersinsight.com. Please check them out. It's a great website. They got a lot of guys that are writing on there and giving a lot of information, and we are definitely going to go take another quick break. No, we are not going to take a quick break.
His son is 18 years old.
His son is 18 years old.
He sounded so young that
time. Andy's 20.
Andy's a little bit younger than I am, yeah.
He's in his 20s.
Yeah. He's in his 20s.
He does a great job. It's a great site. Actually, he took over when I was writing for Eyes on It. When John and I were writing for Eyes on Islands, he took over Eyes on Islands from us. And,
what did he say? His wife was a Ranger fan?
His wife's a Ranger fan.
Oh, then that
yeah, he lives in, he's
I can live with that then.
He's formerly from Long Island, lives in Jersey now.
All right.
He lives in Jersey.
He lives in Jersey.
All right.
So he does the commute for games.
You're going to play Washington in the first round.
You think so?
You're going to play Washington?
If you don't fall, if you don't, like, go back to losing and fall to fourth place, you're going to play Washington. I think Pittsburgh
is done.
I think they're feeling the effect now at this point in the season of the coach. I don't think the coaching change was smart last year. They fired their GM. They lost a couple of defensemen that are now on Washington. In Bruce and Orpik and Niskanen. And now Letang, if he's gone, extended period of time.
Trouble.
They already lost Dupuis for the season. You're relying heavily on Malkin, Kunitz, and Crosby. I got to be honest with you. End of the season here, if they lose that game to San Jose.
It's 2-2 right now after the second period.
If they lose that game, I'm telling you right now, Washington will pass them. They will. And, you know why? Because Holtby has been outstanding this year.
Yeah, he's been great.
So you put that together with Ovechkin, he'll probably score another 10 goals in the last 6-7 games. So
Pittsburgh's problem, I mean, you know, I think that Pierre Maguire summed it up a couple of weeks ago in one of the NBC games when they were talking with Mike Emmerich and Eddie Olchuk about the fact that Pittsburgh does not really have an identity under the new coach. And it's like a team that seems lost a lot of times. You know, they're trying to live off of the – you know, the powerhouse reputation with Crosby and Ovechkin, Malkin. But, you know, they don't really, they don't play. I mean, I think they were a better team under Dan Bowsmith.
Absolutely.
They
have one of the best front lines in hockey. The number one line in hockey, by far. Not by far, but I mean they have a great.
But you know what? You're right on that aspect.
But that's all they have.
But if you look this season,
that's all they have.
You look this season. There are times where that front line is completely lost.
There's
nothing to them. They just seem
they don't play inspired hockey sometimes, and they win on the merits of the talent they have. And how far is that going to get them down the stretch and through the playoffs? I mean, it could be the best. I mean, I'm not saying we should take it for granted that if the Islanders play Pittsburgh in the first round, we're guaranteed, you know, but that is the best matchup.
Yeah, because to me, Washington still scares me.
Washington scares me. Montreal scares the crap out of me.
Washington's a bigger, stronger team than Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
They're built for the playoffs.
Yep.
Barry Trotz has playoff experience. Yeah. This Pittsburgh coach has nothing.
No.
That's probably one of the only downfalls for Capuano. He has no playoff success yet. He's only been there once. But, yeah, listen, you're talking about possibly taking one of the highest scoring defensemen out of the game for the rest of the regular season. I don't know how many games he's going to miss.
But
that's
going to
affect him down
the
stretch if he's out.
To me, two concussions in 2 months is a recipe for disaster.
That's big. I know it's Crosby's team. That's their identity. Pierre McGuire should know that himself. Nobody ever talks about Malkin. They always talk about Crosby first, second, third, and then they wind up getting – and Malkin is actually a better hockey player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What anybody says. If he's fully healthy, he is more dangerous one-on-one and making guys around him even better.
And the thing that surprises me a lot about Malkin, and nobody mentions it too, he comes back.
Right.
He backshacks. He does everything. He does everything in all three zones where you know.
He's the Russian version of Peter Forsberg. Flat out.
Yeah.
Exactly what he is.
He's a lot bigger frame.
You know, Kunitz is better, but listen, Kunitz has 16 goals this year. That's not what you're accustomed to with him.
No.
So I know we're thinking about past years, maybe Kunitz in past playoff seasons, but 16 goals, I ain't cutting it with this team. So I tend to think, especially if they lose this game to San Jose, maybe even on top of it anyway, I think Washington is going to get hot here at the end of the season, and I think they're going to pass them. I think the Islanders are going to play Washington.
It'll be very interesting to see. So, folks, again, if you're listening, if you do want to call into the show, the number to reach us here is 631-888-8811. We will definitely take your phone calls up to the top of the hour. And, so the only other thing now we got to look and see is what's going to be the situation in the Western Conference. Obviously, Anaheim, 103 points.
They got it locked up.
They pretty much got it locked up. But, again, it's still going to scare me, and it looks like it could happen again, is that the L.A. Kings team is again, peaking at the right time.
They're a playoff-ready team all the time.
Every minute.
You know, what happened to Nashville?
I hope they make it.
Nashville actually
they were the hottest team around,
and I think they came into New York and just cooled down completely. And they're still getting great work from their goaltending. They got one of the best defensemen in the league in Shea Weber, and actually they won the other night, and he didn't even play. But
and Roman Josi's good too. I mean, he can play.
No. They've got some good solid guys. And again, Seth Jones is gonna be the real deal.
They get a lot of points from the defenseman.
Yep.
And they picked it up recently. They had a big downslide there for everybody goes through it.
Yep.
So they lost a bunch of games and came back to the pack, and now they pulled ahead just a little, a few points ahead now.
I think 102. They clinched a playoff spot.
In their last 10
they,
games.
They clinched a playoff spot.
Yeah, they're in.
They're in. The Blues got 99 points.
I think St. Louis will be dangerous in the playoffs.
Exactly.
Are the Blackhawks making it?
Yeah, the Blackhawks are going to make
the Blackhawks are in a 5 seed right now. I honestly don't think, obviously the fight's going to be between Calgary and LA. Dallas is five points behind Calgary for the 8th spot.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's going to be too much of anything going on.
Minnesota's playing great.
All right, Cole Zane? No. Okay. Sorry. That's the fight right now. I mean, San Jose is done. I mean, I think finally the end of Doug Wilson as a GM of San Jose, because he's had every opportunity in the world to build that team up. I think that team's going to be broken up big time. And Colorado the same way.
You know, Calgary got a big win today in Nashville. Nashville's a dominant team at home. Calgary beat them 5-2. So they helped themselves jump back ahead of LA, but I guess
LA's got the game in hand.
Yeah, I think because of what I've seen out of LA the last few years, I just think that they're going to jump them at some point and play Vancouver in the first round. And then it's up to Calgary really.
And to me, I'm a Vancouver fan as well, but I mean, to me, Vancouver is just, they can't rely on A-Lock. I mean, losing Ryan Miller is so big at this point in time. And it's just not going to go, okay, we got a caller on Sports Talk 1240. Who we got?
Hello.
Who's this?
Bill from Massapequa.
Bill from Massapequa. What's going on,
What's
buddy?
What's going on, Bill?
No. I just want to know, is it true that the Islanders are making headlines like the SSR Titanic?
They won today.
They won today.
I know where this guy's loyalty is.
So what's your point?
My point is it true that they're going to barely make the playoffs?
Well, they got 95 points, and they're back in second place again.
Well,
so I don't know. Wait
for the time being.
You still got 2 weeks.
Looking right now, again, they're 6 points. They're 6 points ahead of the 8th place Boston Bruins, and the gap is now actually 9 points on 9th place. So, with 5 games left, there's 10. That means 10 points. So right now, I think the magic number is now like maybe 3 or 4.
Something like that.
I mean, don't worry. I think they'll be there.
Well, I think the range is magic number 7.
7 points. 7 points, that is. All right, that's it.
What was he talking about?
Kids in the background, cut them off.
What was he talking about?
What
was he talking about, 7?
The magic number, 7 points. Oh, yeah. Combination of 7.
Well, all four of us, foregone conclusion, the Rangers are winning the division.
Right.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, so no one's disputing
that. Nobody's disputing that.
No.
The Rangers I think here the three of us, again, although... Three of us here bleed orange and blue. We understand, as hockey fans, we know
where it's at.
We know where it's at. We know the Rangers are playing fantastic and they've done a great job. Tan Talbot's been one of the best stories in the league this year.
Yeah, that's just an amazing.
There's no question.
The Islanders and Pittsburgh just started to struggle together
unfortunately for them, struggle at the right time. You know, that they didn't lose the ground that they needed to. You know, right. I mean, the Detroits and the Washingtons and the Bostons had the chance to move themselves up, and they didn't.
Yeah, Detroit hasn't been playing well.
Nobody's
lately
been playing
at all
well.
Either.
No.
You know, Tampa Bay climbed back up a little bit. Washington's been pretty steady. The Rangers have been pretty steady.
So are we ready? We can take a break now? Okay, we're going to take a break now. And, again, you have the chance to come in and talk hockey, playoffs, baseball, anything you want. 631-888-8811 is the number. We're here on Sports Talk 1240 WGBB.
Sports Radio New York and AM 1240 WGBB are proud to announce the new Sports Talk 1240, along with the launch of a brand new website at sportstalk1240.com. Check out our new site for information about upcoming shows, as well as easy access to past shows, articles, our live studio webcam, and more. Of course, be sure to tune in to Sports Talk 1240 every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 1240 WGBB, or visit sportstalk1240.com for ways to listen to the live broadcast online or from your iPhone. We're excited about these new changes and hope you will be too.
So
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan. Or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out. Or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you could find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA. Or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240. Check us out every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on AM 1240 WGBB. And visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip chain, use mass transit, rideshare, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York, breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
And now, back to Sports Talk 1240.
Okay, and we are back for this last segment of Sports Talk 1240, and my shows, of course, are always sponsored by Country Foot Care in Mineola and Williston Park for the greatest foot care possible. Contact Dr. Brooke and his staff at 516-741-3338, 516-741-FEET, or visit countryfootcare.com. So as we were just saying while we were waiting on the commercials, Carey Price, MVP candidate?
Yes.
He's going to win it. There's no way. First of all, they're not going to give it to Ovechkin anyway. He'd be the next guy on the list.
I would think so.
And he's already won it three times. They ain't going to give it to him. Which, he doesn't deserve it. You're barely going to have a guy in the 80s in the point totals. They're not going
to. Yeah,
Price is sub-2 goals against. Yeah. The guy's been lights out. And they are heavily, heavily reliant on their goaltender, the Montreal Canadiens.
He's been brilliant, too.
Derek, let me ask you a question. You know hockey better than anybody.
In this room.
What do you think why the points are down this year?
Scoring-wise? Well, one theory out there that's probably legitimate is the rolling of four lines, you know, no matter what team it is.
Right.
Coaches with an 82 game grind, the way athletes are today, they're not nearly as tough as they used to be. You know, I don't know how many times I see in practice guys are out. Maintenance day. That's a great phrase they use now.
Maintenance day.
You know, meanwhile, in 1975, and I just know this from reading a book about Fred Shiro, but that was one of the claims and strong points about the Flyers when they won their back-to-back Stanley Cups. Nobody ever missed a practice. In 2 years, they didn't have anybody miss a practice. Their main players.
That's crazy.
You know, and nowadays everyone's getting, and I'm just referring to what I see with the Rangers. A lot of guys get maintenance days.
Sometimes it's amazing that it just so happens when somebody goes out on the injured list that somebody just comes immediately back. It's just like it's like clockwork. It's like they know.
They're rolling four lines. That's part of it. I think a big part of it is there's more film study than any time because of technology. No matter what sport, there's more dissecting and breaking down tape, and guys are just being defended extremely well.
I also
like Ovechkin scored early today against the Rangers, and then the Rangers defended him well for a good period of time, and then he wound up getting another goal later on. But a lot of times he gets shut down against the Rangers. So the way defense is set up and the way they plan for other team star players, that's an effect on it. And the other part of it is the goalies are monsters nowadays.
Yeah. Goalies are monsters, and defensemen and forwards put their body out. Ad nauseum, much more than he did 30, 40 years ago.
These guys are 6'6". Yeah. The goalie's moving post to post in a split second. The type of equipment they use nowadays, the drills they're working to increase their speed and reflexes. You know, and then the other factor is, and I know this firsthand, is there are no gimme points anymore. You don't get assists. You don't get points because the PR guy asked for it.
Yeah,
the film gets studied, second assist is given; it's earned.
Taking that last point you just said, hockey is now a 12-month sport. I mean, you know, once the season was open in April, you know, those guys were, you know, partying until, you know, like the end of August when they would stroll in for training camp out of shape. These guys are in shape 12 months a year. And not only are they in shape 12 months a year, but they're stat shape. They're ridiculous. Well, I mean, well, I've seen, that, you know, you see these guys in a locker room. I mean, you know, my experience, you know, seeing guys like Anders Lee and Brock Nelson, you know, these guys are, you know, when they monsters. were 6'3", 230 in playing in sports and, you know, in the decades of the 80s and the 90s, they look nothing like they do now. I mean, these guys got 5% body fat. They're Adonises. They're ridiculous. And they're doing this 12 months a year.
But I heard an interview with Tavares and Johnny Tavares, and he said that, he thinks they're not calling as many penalties the second half of the year as they did in the beginning.
There's not
of the
that
year.
Many penalties being taken, John. Yeah. It's not as physical.
And that's why there aren't a lot of power plays, he was saying.
Well, there's probably there probably are less special team situations.
Yeah. That's what that was his,
you know,
his
theory. That would be a factor also. That's just the difference in the way the game's played.
Yeah, but I agree with you. The goaltenders are bigger, and like Gary said, they
I think it's just a two-way. You know, everybody's the, you know, back pressure. You
there's
know,
more preparation,
gap control. You know, the guys forwards have to come back stronger. You know, it's getting sticks and bodies and lanes. You know, this was stuff that in the 70s and 80s. You know, and also the guys skate every line, even your fourth line skates. I mean, going back to, I remember growing up, I mean, it was the first two lines that could skate.
Yeah.
And the other two lines were just there to fill up minutes when it was necessary to rest the other
first
two lines.
Or they were your penalty, your third line was your penalty killing
line.
Right,
right.
Yeah. I mean, they did, you know, they had their role every once in a while, but you knew when, you know.
There's not a lot of penalties in any particular game. Sometimes there's only four or five power plays handed out. Now, like today, the Ranger game had plenty of power plays both ways. The Capitals had a power play goal. The Rangers didn't get it.
The Islanders didn't have a penalty last night.
Nothing.
Against Anaheim.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah.
The Rangers won a couple of games without a power play.
Yeah.
But
it happens.
You know, that's just the way it is.
Okay, we got a call on the line. You're on Sports Talk 1240.
Gary?
Yeah.
Hey, Brad.
Hey, what's up, Brad? What's going on, man?
Hey, not much. Just calling in.
All right, that's
Brad, going,
Brad Kurtzberg, by the way.
Oh, Brad, how are you?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
All right, so tell me, how was the mood in the locker room was a lot better today than it was yesterday?
No question. There was a giant exhale in that locker room after yesterday, tonight rather, as compared to yesterday. And, you know, going in there post-game, the last few home games has been real rough. And today, there were actually some smiles in that locker room.
All right.
That's a good thing.
So what was the thought, or at least in the lock, or at least to you guys up in the press box, was the most important person that stepped up their game or did something that you just didn't expect to see today?
You know, I think I would say the special teams as a whole really came through big. You had three power play goals, and then I think the Clutterbuck shorthanded goal was huge. Shorthanded goals are real momentum changers, and I think when Clutterbuck got that shorthanded breakaway, put the puck in, first of all, I mean, he's been struggling to score lately, and it certainly was a big thing off of his back, and I think it really hurt the Red Wings, especially because they, you know, changed their goalie, and it just sort of proved that it just wasn't going to be their night regardless.
So as far as looking at Detroit, is it just amazing to you that every year that somebody else comes out of the woodwork for that team? It's just like it seems like they grow them on trees.
Yeah, they are a good organization top to bottom. They scout Europe probably better than any other team in the NHL, and boy, they are deep.
Let me ask a quick question. Do you think this win will catapult them into getting a win going for the last five against Columbus, you know, Buffalo, Philly, and carrying them into the playoffs?
I think this really gives them a good mindset because now they have 4 days off before their next game. Had they lost, I think the tension over those four games, the pressure would have been building. The schedule gets a little bit easier. I think this is perfect timing for them.
But, I mean, it gets easier, but, again, Columbus could be that spoiler role. They've won 7 out of 8. They're playing real strong. They're getting a lot of goals. I mean, Scotty Hartnell's been
absolutely.
A rebirth.
Look, you can't take any team in the NHL lightly at this point, but I think going into this, look, the schedule for the next four or five games is certainly easier than it was for the last four or five games.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that, yeah.
All right, Brad. Well, listen, we appreciate you you checking in with us, and I will definitely see you in the press box in the playoffs.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Brad.
All right, buddy. Thanks for calling, bud.
All right.
All right. Okay, so I thought we had another call on the line.
I think you guys are living game to game right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, at this point,
have to.
I mean, I wouldn't talk about catapulting and
well, I think this one. Look, this scored five goals today.
You have to qualify for the playoffs.
You have to get in.
Let me tell you, you're off until Thursday, which is great if you really have a lot of guys banged up.
Yeah.
But if you lose to Columbus Thursday,
and they do,
and the other teams win their games in hand, what are you gonna be? How are you gonna be feeling Thursday night?
Well, it's only one game on Pittsburgh.
I understand on the range, but there's too much of this. Oh, we only lost by one goal. You guys are losing a lot of games. This is your first win against a playoff team. Since early in March, when you beat Nashville,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that there's any reason to like sigh.
They need
to build up some wins here. Now I'm not saying you can't go into the playoffs playing as bad as they have had recently, losing seven road home. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you can't go into the playoffs and win a series or go on a playoff run.
Right.
What I'm saying is you haven't qualified for the playoffs yet, though. Like if you would clinch the spot, like the Rangers clinched the playoff spot,
right,
and they lost these two games.
As I tell everybody,
I kid around with John. I'm like, oh, these are throwaway games.
As I tell everybody, you got to get to the dance first, and then let's see what happens. So we got another caller on Sports Talk 1240. You're on the air.
Yeah, this is Ralph from Staten Island.
Ralphie,
hey, Ralph. What's going on?
What's going, bud?
How are you there, guys?
All right, what can we talk about tonight?
Talking about the Islanders.
There we go. That's John's cousin, by the way.
An Islander fan in Staten Island.
That's John P's cousin.
There you go.
How is everybody?
Good. What's your thoughts?
About the Islanders, big win today.
What did you think of the win today?
Big.
Ralph.
Real big.
Anything stick out for you?
Yes. I'll tell you one thing. I saw the Islanders using two guys by the net, which they haven't done in the last couple of weeks. They're hanging out by the net, shooting at the net a little longer, a little more. That's what they got to do.
That seems to be the major thing that was bothering me over the last six or seven games. Because you get, as I said, you got guys like Brock Nelson and Anders Lee. Huge, humongous guys. 225, 230 pounds.
That's what I'm saying.
You got, I mean, you know, looking at the Rangers, you look at the guys like the Stephans of the world. Those types of guys, they cause havoc in front of the net, right? Am I wrong with that assumption, Derek?
Well, no, Stephan's a playmaker. I mean, if you want to talk about somebody you can have it, Kreider.
I meant Chris Kreider.
And he disappears at points, which is kind of frustrating with a young player. He's got a ton of talent, 6'3", 2.25". I've never seen a guy that big play that fast. He's the fastest skater I've ever seen at that size.
Yeah,
but
a lot of goaltenders don't like
sometimes
that, but yeah.
Maintaining his work ethic from shift to shift. Now you want to talk about guys working constantly? Matt Zuccarello?
Mm-hmm.
Guy's playing out of his mind. The one thing I disagreed with, he had a blogger on before and was talking about guys taking a step back. Kevin Hayes is a rookie this year for the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, outside of Cam Talbot, the 25 games that Lundqvist missed, Kevin Hayes is probably the most important player on the Rangers performance-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And usually rookies hit a wall because they only play 40, 50 games in the college season. This kid has taken off. And other guys got their act going. There were some guys that slumped off there for a while, and now the offense is going. And guys like Stepan and Kreider are going. Now St. Louis is coming back soon, but you got Broussard, you got Zuccarello, you got Hayes with Hagelin. So there's a lot of depth.
I was trying to say about the Rangers, as far as what I see again, and I don't like you say, you don't see every out again. I don't see every Ranger game,
right.
But the thing that I like about their work ethic constantly is they're always in front of creating havoc, and the Islanders had that problem of not doing
well. For most of the season, except for the last, I would say, 10, 15 games,
right.
Lee and Nelson were in the front. Nelson was doing it the whole beginning of the year, and then Lee started turning it up. They were sitting in front of the net, and they were getting the garbage goals.
It wasn't a constant problem, a constant situation. That's the problem that they had, but they showed that today.
Like Ralph, the caller said, Lee was in the front today on a lot of those things. I was watching that, too. I said, I'm glad he's there.
Yeah, he has to do that more. And you know what I noticed, too? Halak had a shaky game at the beginning of the game, but at the end he made some big saves.
Oh, he made a tremendous save towards the end there.
Well,
Ralph,
I think you and I could have played goal in the beginning of the game.
It was like a shootout. Unbelievable.
Exactly. It was both goaltender.
Six shots on net and three goals for both of them.
Speaking of goaltenders, I think Lundqvist is more doable to score a goal against than Talbot on the Rangers.
It's conditioning, it's game shape. You know, I mean, he's the type of guy, and again, you can't negate his work ethic and his pride of the game. You know that come 10 days from now, he's going to be back on his game. There's no, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
You know, that's a blip in the screen. You know, maybe an Islander fan was happy, but you know what? Hey, all I know is the last 2 days, as an Islander fan looking at the teams that the Rangers were playing in the standings, I wanted the Rangers to win.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I thought it all.
You wanted them to beat Boston and beat
you
Washington.
You had to get that down. Again, right. As we've been saying, you have to get to the dance. As Derek was saying, you have to get to the dance. You know, and those wins, if the Rangers would have got them, would have helped the Islanders get to the dance. And, you know, then believe me, everybody's going to say, oh, the Rangers did it deliberately. No, they didn't.
No, teams don't deliberately lose games. I'm sorry.
No, exactly. But you know what? You were hoping that they would have got it done. It didn't happen. They got to do it, another way. You know, Thursday's the big test. And, you know, like I said, Scotty Hartnell for Columbus is playing tremendous. They're getting great goaltending. They're getting, because remember, when you looked at the beginning of the season, Columbus was one of the guys they thought was going to have a shot to win the damn division.
I saw it, yeah.
And they didn't. You know, they just fell completely apart. They got hit the injury bug.
Yeah.
Bobrovsky got knocked out for a period of time, wasn't playing well. No. So, Ralph.
Yeah.
What's your final number? What do you think the Islanders are going to get? This is the last question because we got another caller we're going to get on.
All right. What are they going to get? I think that they're going to wind up getting the home field advantage. They're going to win two. They're going to win two or three of the next five that they got. Is it, they got five games left?
Yeah, five games left. So you think they got to win at least three, right?
Yes, they got to win.
So that means 101 points. You're going to be happy with 101 points?
Yeah, I'll take it.
Did you think at any point? Do you think at any point in September and October that you thought that this team was going to get 101 points?
No way.
That would be the first time in 30 years they got 100 points.
Ralph, what I want you to do for me, I want you to get somebody to take your phone and videotape a picture of you doing a cartwheel, because that's what I want to see if we get 101 points out of this team, okay?
There you go.
All right, Ralph. Listen, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Ralph.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. All right, we got it.
Take care.
All right, so we got another call coming in. You're on Sports Talk 1240.
Hi, this is John from St. James.
Hey, John, what's going on, dude?
What's up? You guys want to talk a little Mets?
Let's talk Mets. Sure, let's do it.
Yeah. So, what do you guys think is like the greatest weakness for this team this year?
Bullpen
1A, up the middle 1B.
Now, what do you think about throwing Nese in the bullpen and bringing Steven Matz up to the starting?
I love the Steven Matz story, obviously. Long Island kid. You can't not love the situation, but you know what? It's like Syndergaard. You can't bring this guy up too fast. You know, and not especially now when you've got the time to do it. I think Nese is a one more year type of player. You gotta let Matz get the Triple-A experience. You can't bring him up from Double-A, go straight up to the major leagues. I just don't, it's like when you bring some of these hockey players up as an 18-year-old. Sometimes you have to do it for the reasons that you don't have the ability to slot somebody in there. But you know what? You know, give him a little bit of maturity, and I think this kid's going to be great.
Yeah, but isn't he 23 now?
But again, with no Triple-A experience.
Yeah, I just think he's going to be in a situation where he's going to gain experience at AAA right away. Who knows how many starts? First injury, he may be the first guy up.
Yeah.
He may come up ahead of Syndergaard.
Maybe
they decide they need a guy out of the bullpen. But I think they want him as a starter.
Again,
so.
being a lefty is going to give him that upper hand. Because you know what? You can't get enough left-handed pitching. But if you're going to bring a left-hander up like that, you can't take a left-hander out.
So, all right. We throw him to the bullpen, though. I
think they want him as a starter.
Yeah,
I think
you got to get this kid experience starting.
You know, so Nese has experience.
Maybe by the All-Star break.
Yeah, it's possible.
Everybody's going in for surgery. It seems like every other week someone's getting
hurt. Yes.
So I just think he's one of the first two call-ups to me.
Yeah.
I will say this, though. I'll make a point, though. David Price came up as a reliever, too, when Tampa. Okay. On Tampa.
Yeah, he did.
I just don't think he's
matured. He's had Tommy John. He came back. I don't know. I look at him as like a Dwight Gooden. He just comes up, throws hard. And he's a lefty, and he's, I don't know.
Well, that's it. You know what? To me, again, as a former left-hander in high school and stuff, you covet those lefties. You want to treat them a little more gingerly than you do the righties, because lefties are a great commodity. And you can't have enough of them. You know what? So I think you let him go to Vegas. And again, unfortunately, his numbers are going to be inflated because of the way, the balls fly out of that ballpark there. Right. And the averages are crazy. You know what? I think you let him get that experience out of his system. You know, I think it worked well with Wheeler. I think it worked well with the others. I think it will work well with him too.
Yeah, no, what about Wheeler, man? I look at him as like a Michael Pelfrey. You know, he looks great. He's got all his stuff, but when he gets up there, man.
Well,
he,
let's see what happens with the surgery. I mean, you know, he's out for the next 15 months.
You don't have to worry about him. You got to worry about DeGrom, Harvey, putting up big seasons. That's all. If you're a Met fan, what you want is you want monster seasons from Harvey and DeGrom. You want that to be a big time 1-2 combination.
And Cologne to eat up the Yanks.
And you want to find a bullpen, end of the bullpen as you go along. Now maybe Mejia does it as the closer. Now you got to get someone behind him.
Right.
You, as your eighth inning.
Parnell has a break. Parnell and they got Familiar, right?
Right. So maybe you know, maybe it's Mejia and Parnell.
Right. I mean,
you know, but that has to be proven. I think as a fan, what you have to look for is you got to look at David Wright and Curtis Granderson and Michael Kadiah, and you got to as a trio of three guys, you want adequate to above average at bats.
You want some power and you want them hitting. Average season from those guys.
Yeah.
So, at the very least.
So John, what your deal is, you want to throw Neeson as a middle relief because they don't have a relief pitcher really for a lefty.
Doesn't impress me. I don't know who would you rather throw to the Wolves in the bullpen, Neeson or Matt? You know, they need a lefty.
Right.
They do need a lefty.
I don't know. I mean, what do you do? I mean, this is the year. I mean, this is kind of like
But the thing it's tough on a kid when you groomed him as a starter and going up through the organization. All of a sudden, when you get to the highest level, you turn around and say, you know what? Guess what? You're going to be a reliever. To me, that's a psyche issue. And at that age and at that ability, you got to give him time to get there.
I got to be honest with you. I think Nice gets a shot, and you're hoping for your real bulls, DeGrom and Harvey, to take off. And if Nice fails.
And you got
it's easy to throw him in the bullpen and bring Matt's up as a starter. Right. That's what they want him doing. They want him to start.
I know. So maybe Matt's long-suffering Met fan.
Well, what I'm saying is,
join the club, pal.
Yeah,
let's say Matt's becomes a real gem. If he's part of the future,
I want
to keep him as a starter. And if he gets a shot early or midway through the season, then maybe you're in a situation where you're throwing Nice into the bullpen then, because he's probably not here when the Mets are ready to win.
I know. They're all good problems to have. You know?
Exactly.
I mean,
let's hope we keep it that way.
What about Conforto? I haven't heard anything from this guy. I thought he was a real stud.
I haven't heard much either, to be honest with you. I guess they're destining him to start the year in Vegas at this point.
Now, did he use aluminum bats? Did they use the metal bats in college, or what did they use?
College uses aluminum bats. But I'm not even familiar, and I haven't watched all the preseason games, but I'm not even familiar with him in terms of this lineup being put together.
Yeah, he was the first draft pick they got. What was it, last year?
Last year.
Yeah, so what, he just go to college? He's probably too young. I haven't heard his name until you just brought him up.
Not a lot of guys.
He's 23. These guys are in their prime. I don't know.
Still, not just as the Mets, but I don't see it a lot where you get guys coming out of the college game.
Yeah,
you know, and come immediately to the major leagues. It's not like the NHL. It's not like the NHL where you can go from BU or.
You're a diehard Met fan. You want Lucas Duda putting up 30 homers like he did last year.
Oh, I do.
And you want Granderson getting his act together. Yep. And David Wright putting.
And you know what? I honestly, truly believe, sir, that Kevin Long is going to be a big difference to the hitting on this team.
And
this
he might.
He's shown it already. They're scoring runs like crazy. They're hitting the ball like crazy. Granderson's having a great spring. Yes, I'm thinking about stats, but I'm thinking about his contact and his ability to hit to all fields at this point. He's doing what he should have did last year. And you know what? Kevin Long got him great numbers when he was with the Yankees. So you know what? If he does it over here, you've got to be happy with that.
What about Darno versus Plawecki? I heard this guy Plawecki's supposed to be something special with the bat.
Darno's a catcher.
Darno's going to be
Record probably going to back him up anyway. Listen, you should be focused as a Met fan on the two pitchers I mentioned, and you got an all-world fielder, a gold glover in center field. Juan Legarra, I'm telling you, one guy that you should be as excited as you are with Harvey and DeGrom, because that kid is going to be patrolling center field, and he's going to make a big difference.
Yeah.
He's going to save a lot of runs.
I think
he's short in second base and short in second.
That's their problem.
If Flores can be a plus, you know, I mean, hit the heck out of the ball. He makes a few errors, all right, but you know, I want to see what he can do. I'm actually excited to see what he can do.
They're a little bit, you know, they're shaky defensively at second and short because their first baseman's not a gold glover. You know,
and that's
a problem.
Yeah,
so you're going to hold your breath a little bit with that. But Murphy's got a good stick at the plate. And Flores, when he plays, I've seen him hit.
He hits
in
well.
The last year.
He hits well.
He's 6'3". He's a big kid,
too. You just got to hope that glove improves.
They got Dilson Herrera, right? And they got a guy named Reynolds or something who's pretty good, right, in the minors?
There's options if it needs to be at this point, but right now, I mean, obviously it's going to be either, you know, part A or part B between Wilmer Flores and Ruben Tejada, but you got to hope that one of these guys steps up their defensive game, because without having a good middle infield, this team is not going to prove any much more than it will.
Yeah. Well, it should be exciting.
Yeah, well, hey, we're looking forward to it, man. Listen, we appreciate you giving a call.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, John.
All right, have a good night.
All right, guys. Take care.
You too. Brings up a lot of valid points.
Yep. Yeah. No, he does.
You know, again, you know, my all right, let's just do it right now in the last couple of minutes we got. Over-under. Wins.
For who?
Mets.
The Mets, I'll say they win 84 games.
I'll say 85.
And you're saying 85 is going to win a wild card?
Yeah, well, 85 to
85 is going to 85 is going to win a wild card?
Yeah. 85 to 88.
You want some of my Kool-Aid instead of yours?
You don't think so.
Jeez.
You don't think so.
They're going to win the wild card. They're going to need at least 88. At least.
I think Washington's a better team overall. I think Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and especially St. Louis.
That central division is going to be great to watch.
And LA's a better team. So if they're going to win, one of those teams is going to have to fall.
I'd be happy with 82 wins.
I've been saying it the last four or five years. I mean, to me, they got to finish a year over 500. You know, if they get that 82 wins, I'm thrilled. But I mean, to me, you know, if you're looking for that wild card game, they've got to hit at least 88 to 90. In order to get it done. And to do that 88 to 90, they've got to go at least 500 or better against the Washington Nationals, which is not in anybody's mind going to happen.
Yeah, they got it. I think a good start would help them.
Yeah.
I think a good start would help.
I'm real disappointed in my buddy.
If they can win like 12, 14 out of the first 20 games, that would be a big help for them.
They've got
to
come out strong.
It doesn't have to be a monster start, but it needs to be a good start.
You know, they got to play Atlanta in the beginning. I think they got a home and home with them.
I don't think much of Atlanta's lineup.
No, I don't either. I don't either. But you know, but what I think in order to them to get that to move to that next level, they've got to push Atlanta further down to the ground.
No,
I think for psyche
Atlanta
purposes.
Lost a lot too.
You know, I agree with that. But you know what? But again, Atlanta. Every time Atlanta loses somebody, they get two or three guys coming out of their system, and they go back above. So they've got to take Atlanta, push them down a little bit further to the ground. Philly, you don't have to worry about that. That's already being taken care of.
Yeah, I don't think, I'm telling you, I don't think they're going to have to worry about Atlanta. Atlanta, I love their closer, but you got to get to them first of all.
Yeah, exactly.
And Freddie Freeman's a good ball player, but outside of that, man, there's not a lot of familiarity.
They lost one of the Uptons.
Their pitching rotation is not.
And he was the better of the two Uptons.
They're not opposing at all. They don't have an opposing rotation.
Hey, Sam Fran and Pittsburgh had 88 wins last year and got the playoffs.
Yep.
The Mets could do it with 80.
I'm not saying they have no chance. I just, there's teams I got going ahead.
They've got to come out near 600 ball.
Yes.
You already got a gun. We got 2 minutes, guys.
And I'm going to say St. Louis plays, I'm going to say they play Baltimore in the World Series.
Wow.
You're saying,
wow. Off the left. You think Baltimore's going to beat the California, the LA Angels?
Why not?
Wow.
Last time I checked, LA lost yet last year.
That's true. That's true.
Did they lose to Kansas City?
That's true.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, guys.
So anything can happen.
So, guys, the next time we're going to be on a show, it's going to be playoff time.
For hockey, yes.
Yes, it is.
It's going to be very exciting.
It's going to get ugly.
I got the Rangers path to the cup on April 12th. Johnny wants to come down for that. I got 2 dates for you, John, since it's the end of the show. December 6th.
Quick.
You took me to the Islander game? Remember that day?
Yeah, I should do. I can't.
Since that day, the Rangers, 36 wins, 11 losses. 3 OT losses.
That's very impressive.
The other date I have for you is February 14th. You know what that date was?
Yeah, it's my anniversary.
That was my birthday.
It's my anniversary.
And he made a birthday
wish. That was
wish.
My birthday.
And I want to hear the birthday wish.
You know what happened 2 days later when the Rangers played the Islanders? It was one of the greatest regular season games ever between the two.
6-5.
Yeah. That 6-5 game. Why don't you go back and check the Islanders' record since my birthday? And then get back to me.
It's not a happy recap.
The last show we did. 21 days ago, the Rangers were 3 points behind your team with 4 games in hand. 3 weeks later, 6 points up, 2 games in hand. That's a 9-point swing.
Okay. Well, on that note, we're going to end this show right now.
I'll give you something to chew on.
Derek, John, and Johnny, it was a pleasure. It was fun. I can't wait to talk playoffs the next show we do. So, listen, thanks for coming on, and thanks for listening to Sports Talk 1240 WGBB. In the words of my good friend Bill Hayes, keep skating, everybody, and good night.
Let's go, Rangers!
views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.